Your hands are filthy. Your hair is filthy. Tanner, you can't come to school like this. Surely you must know that.
Principal Hammond leaned back in his chair, perhaps hoping to distance himself from the unfortunate aroma of Tanner Burgess's clothes. Through the window behind him, Tanner could see the star field in constant motion. Points of light swept past, like the heavens themselves were scrolling through his file, just as relentlessly as the principal did.
Are you even listening to me, Mr. Burgess?
Tanner sighed and forced himself to meet the man's eyes.
I could barely afford drinking water this month, Mr. Hammond. There was no way I could pay for water to bathe with.
The principal grimaced in something between disgust and pity, two emotions Tanner couldn't stand.
What about your neighbors? Surely they could lend you.
No one lends anymore. People are conserving for when we finally arrive on Primordius.
Yes, I suppose they are.
The principal looked down at Tanner's file.
But we're not here to talk about your hygiene, are we?
Tanner couldn't help but grin.
I suppose not. Simulating a spin quake and setting off the school's evacuation protocol is not a laughing matter.
I didn't simulate anything. I just tricked the school's computer.
Regardless, you disrupted the day's studies and caused unnecessary strife. If we were back on Earth, you would be expelled.
Into space?
No, expelled from school.
The principal sighed through gritted teeth.
But since there are no other schools for you to go to, that's not an option, is it?
Oh, well. Tanner had enjoyed watching the other kids race out of the school in comical, ill-fitting radiation suits, all those clean cuts with their sweet-smelling hair and superior attitudes climbing over one another to save their own lives. Kids like Ocean Klingsmith, who thought he was God's gift to the universe. We're the ones bringing humanity to the stars, Ocean once told Tanner. You're just the dirt on our shoes. It was particularly entertaining to watch Ocean run. Principal Hammond continued to flip through Tanner's file, going tss and pff with everything he read, like a tire losing air. Tanner looked past him and out the window again. There were few windows in the hull of the Transstellar Biologic Encapsulation Craft, or T-Bin for short. Glass was fragile and allowed too much energy to escape. A window on space was a perk reserved only for those in the highest positions. Principal Hammond, whose office was at the front end of the great rotating drum, was one of those people. No doubt the window was intended to give anyone sitting in the principal's office the illusion that the man in the chair, with the heavens spinning behind him, was an integral part of the awe-inspiring view. The irony was that it had the opposite effect. It made Hammond seem small and insignificant by comparison. The principal closed Tanner's file. He suspected the man might have sent the file and Tanner out of an airlock if one were readily available.
Your defiance of authority is bad enough, but I'm even more concerned about the habitual conflicts you have with your peers.
They always start it.
Of course they do.
Why wash with water? Tanner thought. He could bathe in the sarcasm dripping from the man. He decided it was time to keep his mouth shut and accept the lecture, or pep talk, or analysis, whatever Hammond wanted to call it. None of it changed a thing. The colonists on board were all supposed to be enlightened equals, but after 67 years in space, the social structure had taken on a very particular pecking order. Kids like Tanner, for whom daily survival was a struggle, were treated like the dregs of humanity. Creating waves was the only thing that made life bearable. It wasn't just that he enjoyed the mayhem, though he had enjoyed the challenge of hacking the school's computer. He was, by his very nature, a problem solver. Yet when others looked at him, all they saw was a problem.
Listen to me, Tanner, Hammond said. When we arrive on Primordius, survival will depend on us being a close-knit community. You can't afford to be an outsider. Do you understand?
Tanner nodded, but kept his true feelings on the matter to himself. For his entire life, he'd been an insider, stuck within the steel walls of a rotating drum hurtling through space. His whole world, and the world of everyone he knew, was nothing more than a small farming town shoved into a cylinder less than a mile in diameter. Once they landed, he'd truly get to be an outsider, and it would be wonderful.